the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great city, street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life, the river.
So I just want you to know that my sermon, I might do it and I might not. It all depends upon Dean. But Dean, no pressure from you at all. I just want you to share what God's laid on your heart when that time comes. But don't worry about me. You just share what God's done in your life. So some of the things we just a little bit different today in our service that are usually what we do here. But it's good to have visitors here with us today. Good to see some new faces that are here. We just welcome you and hope that it's not the last time you come. But with that last song, you never know. But don't judge us by the last song. Good to have you all here today. Do want to let you know that you're all invited to be a part of just a light lunch we're having afterwards. We're kind of at a time of transition. Today is my second year as the pastor here at Harbor of Joy. It's the anniversary. And Pastor Tim Nabi, he gets installed today in Sibley, Iowa as well. So that's that's taking place, and that's why Bev's not here, and I believe they're going to be moving over to Sibley here by fall, and so that's a little change for us as well. So be mindful of them, pray for them, as they've also got a daughter that's getting married this summer, I believe, too. So there's a lot of things going on for them. Keep them in your prayers. But I was going to say that there's a little potluck. You're more than welcome to stay and learn a little bit more about Harbor of Joy. As we look forward in the next 5 years and less type of a thing, what is it that God really wants us to be as a church in this community and in this area and around the world as well? So if you want to get in on that, I'm interested to hear your dreams and your vision that you have. And then I'm going on vacation because it's going to take too much out of me. We're going to be gone for a couple of weeks. Just want you to know that Pastor Rick Porter will be here next week and the week following. And he's an excellent speaker. And he's a retired pastor here in the community. He's also my neighbor across the street. So but some of you know him. We got to know him when we attended Harbor of Joy before I was pastor here, and didn't know I was going to be a pastor here either. And I just really enjoyed Rick's teaching and his preaching. I know that you will too.
Jim?
Yes?
You do know that when the cat's away, the mice will play?
Yes, I do know that. I usually don't tell you when I'm going to be gone, but I just had to let you know that. But there's always a good pastor that's going to be here when I'm not. And if you need anything, I mean, like Charlie asked, that, well, if something happens, who should she call? There's another pastor in the community. And I just told her, I said, call me. I'll come back no matter where we are and deal with whatever needs to be dealt with at that time. So those are my orders to you. She knows that. So I want to remind you that Tuesday there is prayer group at 9:30. Always welcome to new people to be a part of praying together in the library here at the church. And then at 7 o'clock is our church council that meets at 7 o'clock this Tuesday night. There is no Thursday lunch with the bunch. We're doing a study on the book of Philippians. So I just want you to know, those of you that attend, or are planning on saying, like, good, we get a Bible study, that we're not going to be meeting this Thursday or next Thursday. Wait till we come back from vacation. And we had a record turnout of men's breakfast, right, Elmer? How many do you think were there?
10.
Who said 10? Dean came. There was 10 guys there, which is great for a men's breakfast at Perkins, first Saturday of every month. So next one will be in July, July 3rd.
We can always use more.
Oh, yeah. We'll slide more tables together. There's no problem with that. I'll come back to the prayer request at the end here, but just want you to know that we do have day camp being planned for August of this year. There's some things that you see in the bulletin that are needed, bottle caps and newspapers and magazines. There's a donation box in the storeroom. If you can drop them off at the office, Charlie will let you know where that's where they need to go, or you can give them to her and she'll put them where it needs to be. But a day camp is going to be coming from the staff of the Okoboji Bible Camp, I believe, here in this area. And so it's going to be a little bit different than in years past, but we do need an artist. Mary Ann Seifer needs an artist for someone to be able to paint a garage scene. And I don't know what she's thinking of. In a garage scene. The garage we had on our farm was not very good. But that's probably not the picture you want. And it was a mess all the time. So that's coming up in August, and you can be a part of that if you would like. Just a couple of prayer requests. We got Lana Miller, who is a sister to Linda Johnson, who attends here. She's having another surgery this coming Friday. She's lost 40 pounds, but she loves Harbor of Joy. And those of you that are sending her cards or little words of encouragement, she just loves that. It helps her so much. So be in prayer for her, as well as Chuck Teelberg, who's in the Spirit Lake Hospital Chuck's got some low hemoglobin, there's some bleeding taking place that the doctors are trying to find where it's coming from. They think it's in the stomach area, but they're not real sure. So, and we're not really sure what's going to take place with Chuck either. He's got a rare blood type. It's an A. I don't know if it's A positive or an A negative, but he's got antibodies in blood, in his blood. And they have to get a certain kind of antibody or one without these antibodies, because if he gets the same kind of antibodies in a blood transfusion, it'll kill him. Mm-hmm. He'll die. So they got to be very careful in what they do. That comes up from Des Moines, is where they bring it up from on Pony Express. That's with the state troopers, with the lights on, real fast to get up here. So keep Chuck and Donna in your prayers during this time of just not certain what's taking place there. Chuck is in good spirits, though. I did see him. He always says, they gave me an echocardiogram, they gave me an EKG, and they did some kind of something else. And he says, and they also gave me an EGG. I go, what's an EGG? An A. he missed the breakfast on Saturday, so he goes like, I need an EGG. Sounds like Chuck. Anyway, let's go to prayer and pray for Lana and for Chuck, shall we, this morning. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for everyone that is here today. And Lord, we pray that our time together is one whereby the name of Jesus Christ will be lifted up, his name will be glorified, and that you will use Dean's testimony today in the way, however way you want to use it. And we know, Lord, that it is a word from Dean as far as how you have worked in his life. And I just pray that you would just calm his nerves, calm him down. He's a guy that says he does not like being in front of people, but you'd never know it. And so we just pray that he would look to you for your grace and for your comfort and for your guidance and anointing his lips and his clarity of mind today. We ask this as he shares his testimony. We pray for Lana as well as she goes through another operation. And Lord, we are grateful that you have kept her along this way, and we thank you for those that have sent cards or done little things that she appreciates so much. And may that continue as well as she looks forward to another surgery coming this Friday. I believe that's in Rochester, if I remember right. And so we just lift up our friends into your throne of grace and pray that you would do only what you can do, and to help those that are there in the, doing the surgery, those that are doctors, the things that they need to do, and finding out answers to some of these things. And we are thankful for them as well. And so we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today is the first Sunday of the month, which is our Communion Sunday. And we just have a brief order of confession and forgiveness here this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If I say we have no sin, I deceive myself, and the truth is not in me. But if I confess my sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. We're going to just take a personal time out here and do some reflection. Ask the Lord to show us our hearts here this morning as we let Him examine our hearts and our lives this morning to confess the sin that He brings to our mind. And we'll just do that in silence. Most merciful God, I confess that I am in bondage to sin and cannot free myself. I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what I have done and by what I have left undone. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved my neighbor as myself. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Renew me and lead me, so that I may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. I take you, we're going to do another song.
No.
Go right to Dean.
That wasn't
the plan. Okay. Dean, is it okay if you use this mic?
You could play another song. They probably like that better.
There you go. Don't drop them.
I'll try not to. Well, as you can tell, I haven't been in the Army, because if I'd been in the Army, I'd have never volunteered to do this today. They've been wanting somebody to give a testimony, so I told Tim, maybe I'll volunteer to give the first one, because I guess the board decided to elect me as the president of the board, so maybe you should get to know me, and maybe after I get done with this, you'll go to the board and say, get somebody new to join. But I sat for the last couple nights, and I was going to get an outline, and then I was going to get note cards, and finally I decided, it's my life, so I'm just going to get up here and tell it. And if I stumble, I stumble. But I was born in 1953 over at Esterville at Holy Family to Les and Lois Ramsey. And I got one brother. He was 12 years older than me. And I grew up in a very Christian home. My mother was the superintendent of the Sunday schools, and she played the pianos. And as a Presbyterian boy growing up, I knew one thing. You did not miss church. And no matter what happened, you were in church. And I had a good upbringing. I can't say anything different. And when I graduated from school, I ended up going to South Dakota State in Brookings. And there I met this sweet, beautiful Norwegian girl with an infectious personality and dynamite legs. And the next thing you know, As sophomores, we got married and we finished school and things should have been really good then, but alcoholism was starting to work their way into my life a little bit too much. But life went on and we ended up going back to Esterville and tried farming during the 80s, and 18 to 20% interest put a stop to that. And I ended up them taking a job over in Harris as a feed salesman, and them ended up being the manager. And there's one guy sitting in the back of the church that's still shaking his head wondering why that ever happened. But anyway, I ended up over in Harris, and things should have been perfect because I had two beautiful kids, a beautiful wife, a good paying job, but you know, alcohol finally got the most of grips on me, and I finally, one morning I came home and the doors were locked, couldn't get in, and I decided maybe I should get my life straightened out. So I knew when I got my life turned around, I needed to get new friends and do things different. And I became a little more active in the Presbyterian church there. And I noticed there were three guys there that I became pretty good friends with. And I came home one night and I told Cheryl, I says, them are the guys that I want to grow up to be like. You know, they never preached once to me, but the way they led their life, that's what I wanted to be like. So I tried to do the best I could, and I wish now I would have told them guys, because two of them are dead now, passed away, and the third one, I guess, I just never told. But that is a good example for each and every one of us. You know, they make the statement that we are the Bible that a lot of people are the only Bible that that people are going to see. So if we lead our life right, that's the life other people see in us. So I do know it works, because the life them guys led is what you see here today. And so life was going good until about 12, 13 years ago. I can't get into this too much because I don't want to steal Cheryl's testimony, but she came down with cancer. And it wasn't a good kind, none as good. But hers was, they told us that day that she had 25% chance she might not beat it. And that's a wake-up call. And so we had to schedule and see, get to meet with an oncologist. And in walked this young lady, and I looked at her, and I looked at Cheryl, and I shook my head, and I said, the last time I saw her, I was pulling her out of the snowbank one night when her and her boyfriend went in the ditch. So, and I don't think she wanted to see me any more than that, but we were so blessed, and that's why God, there's not such thing as a coincidence with God. I am convinced everything is planned, because she had just came from California where she'd been doing research under different oncologists, and they had a different way of treating cancer than some of the older doctors, the older oncologists around here. And the good news is it's been 12 years and Cheryl's cancer free now. So and I thank God for that. And I remember one night at youth, at Sunday night Bible study, people decided they wanted to pray for Cheryl, and they put their hands on her up here, right up here at the front of the church. And I know on the way home, Cheryl said it was just like a burden was lifted off her. And she just felt so much better. So I know that was God working in her. So, and then things were, That was 12 years ago, and everything was good until about 6 years ago. And between me losing the battle with a heifer in the chute, and I'm a teacher, grandson, how to drive a tractor. And let me tell any of you that teaches a grandson something, please pay attention to him. Because I was letting him drive, and to make a long story short, I ended up underneath the tractor. He hit the brakes, I went flying off, and in the ended up, I had to have 3 back surgeries out of the deal. And when I got done, the doctor said I couldn't work no more. 60 years old, worked all my life, and it's no fun for a workaholic to be set told they can't work. So, and I just sat there and I watched the livestock go off the yard, I watched the feedstuffs go off the yard, and I just stared out the windows. Life just wasn't right anymore. And I just got almost, well, I was a nervous wreck, and anxiety set in, and I got there one day, some nights without sleeping, and this is the story I have got to tell you. 4 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't sleep, I was in the recliner, I was covered up, and I went to get up, I went to throw the covers off, and there was somebody laying next to me in that recliner, and he said, "Dean, will you lay still?" And you know what? I went to sleep and I slept for 6 hours solid after that. And I woke up the next morning and Cheryl looked at me and said, "How come you slept so good?" And I said, "Because there was somebody else sleeping with me on that love seat." And to this day, people have said, "I found Christ at this camp or at this time." But I know one thing, I've been raised in a Christian family all my life, but I know that with Christ laying beside me on that love seat that day. And after that, things started getting better, and whether there's a coincidence or not, but this book was laying on the coffee table. And we had studied it. Some of you probably were with us. We studied the purpose-driven life in a Bible study. And anyway, it just happened to be laying there. So instead of pacing and ramping around the house, I decided to start reading that again. And I read it through, and then Cheryl and I read it through together. There's 40 short chapters in it. You can read it real easy, but it talked about the church family and the strength that we get from drawing off each and every one of you. I couldn't be the person I am without all of you guys here. So I strongly encourage you to read this book. That's where our Wednesday night fellowship started. That's where we did Vision Haiti suppers, where we raised money. Harbor of Joy is such a wonderful and beautiful church. The people to me are the best, and I know we got the best minister and his wife, and we have the best music minister and accompanist we can have, and Charlie's wonderful. And I just want to say in closing that Harbor of Joy is a mission church. We were formed as a mission church. And as we go forward now after COVID, I think our church will grow and to become bigger and better. And if we get bigger and better, we can do more for the community and the church. But I just want to thank all you guys and thank Pastor Tim for allowing me to share a little bit with you. Thank you.
Here's your book, Dean.
Oh, you want my stuff back.
Thank you so much. It's not the easiest thing to do, But I think it's one of the best things you do when it comes to sharing your faith. And you don't know who is here who goes like, looking at Dean, I would never thought that's how God got a hold of him. There's a lot more to the story than what you heard. But you can talk to him about that or ask him about that later on. But thank you, Dean, so much. And we will have another testimony down the road here a ways. And until then, you don't know who it's going to be. It could be you, Dave. But we'll see. Well, I invite you to stand as we hear God's word here today. It's going to be a real concise, condensed sermon that's want you to know. And somebody's going to look at your clocks and go like, well, let's see how condensed it is. But I want for us to look at Mark. Mark chapter 3, verse 20. Mark 3, verse 20 to 35. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. That's a lot of people crowded into this house. And when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, he is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons. So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying, he has an evil spirit. Heavenly Father, we come before you today wanting to know the truth of your word. And here we find, Lord, where it seemed like people you wouldn't expect, and there are some that you would expect, who say some terrible accusations, false accusations, that you heard and that were directed directly at you. Just as there may be some here today who have had accusations said about them that were not true. So Lord, use your word here today in our hearts and in our lives as well. For united we stand, divided we fall. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Just want you to know that as we look at this text, it's called, we see a little bit of trouble in paradise. You know, a home where you think everything is going to be done well and of harmony and everything is unified. We find here in our text today where Jesus is at and his disciples. It's like all of a sudden people are coming from all over. They come into the house. They can't even eat. There's so many people in there. His family must have been nearby when they heard what was going on, but the atmosphere in this house is where you can cut the tension with a knife. You ever been in a situation like that? You go like, woo-hoo, this isn't good. The mood here is as cold as ice towards Jesus as well. His own family comes, and they're the ones who say that, I think our son has just flipped out. Our son has gone crazy. He's insane. Come on, Jesus, come on, son. We got to go back to Nazareth and you got to just calm down and get some rest and eat better and all these things. And then we find that the religious leaders come along and also mention a false accusation towards Jesus, saying that he is like Beelzebub. Now, Beelzebub is a word, it's really in reference, it's a name for Satan. And it means Lord of the Masters. Or sometimes in the Old Testament, it's referred to as Lord of the Flies. It's just another name for Satan. And so you've got the Pharisees, these religious leaders who come, and they are saying that he is just like Satan casting out other demons. And we find some from Scripture in Matthew's account a little bit more of what goes on here. And Luke also mentions a little bit about what's taking place here, but they come from a different angles. But Jesus has just healed a person who is blind and cannot speak. And he casts out a demon from this person, where all of a sudden now his life has changed to where he can see and he can speak, which he never ever could do. And because Jesus did this, this is where he's getting accused that he is like Satan himself casting out another demon from this person, which is completely false. And that's why Jesus then tells him a parable of how can Satan work against his own kingdom, his own self. How can Satan become a kind, loving person? Because that's not who he is. And so Jesus realizes that Satan is all about divisiveness. He would like nothing better than for you to become a divisive kind of a person, a critical person of others. And just to cause always problems. Satan loves that. You know, if we look at our country today, if I would ask you, is our country more united today than it was 10 years ago? What would you say? It's a pretty easy answer, isn't it? Is the church, we think of the church as a whole, not talking about just Harbor of Joy, we're talking about the church worldwide and even in the United States. Is the church more united today than it was 5 years ago? You say it's not. There's so many things that are going on that's incredible. And so we have to always go back to the Scriptures, go back to the Bible, go back to God's Word and ask this question. What does the Bible say is important and is the strength of any church? And some of the answers to that question, because there are a number of answers to that question. What does the Bible say is important and the strength of any church? It's unity. There's nothing more that God would want within his church is that there be unity. Now, as long as you stay focused on what God's Word says, that's what will happen. But you start deterring from God's Word, there's going to be problems. But God wants the church to be united. He wants a church that will stand firm on his Word, the Scriptures, the Bible. He wants a church that is concerned about the truth of God's Word, but then also loving one another. How will you know that you are disciples of Jesus Christ? How will the world know? The way that you love other people. That's probably the hardest one. There are some people who are easy to love. There are some people that are okay to love. There are some that are more challenging. But all of you here today, I love you. A whole bunch. Where's your boyfriend today? Oh, you couldn't always be here, can you? I'm sorry. When we look at our country, do all lives matter? Does the Bible say that all lives matter? We have to say that. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in his son. It's whoever. Doesn't go by anything other than skin color or anything like that. God sent his son to die for everybody in this, on this planet. We look at immigration, you know, illegal versus legal. These are some of the things we just hear about every day. We hear about vaccinations, getting a shot, not getting a shot. Things said about that that are, can you believe? Some things you can't believe. Critical race theory. You know what critical race theory is? If you are considered a white person, which is probably all of us here, you're the problem. You are a racist just because you got white skin. And I want you to know, this is white. Do I look white? We're just a different shade. But this is white. I don't know where that even comes from. Sometimes you call it Caucasians. But critical race theory, which is coming into our school systems, it goes to your grandkids or to your kids. There is the teaching. If you are white, you are the problem. Now let me ask you this. How many of you had a choice of what your skin color is? Not a one of us. We are who we are. I didn't have any say in it. And neither did you. So how can you be judged or to be called a racist in the light of everything that's going on? There are gender issues. You know, I thought the birth certificate would be plenty enough. God says in Genesis, male and female. I have no idea how we get to the point where we are today. It's because we have left God's word and gone in a different direction. The country has, the leaders of our country have. Look at the political issues that are there. Democrat, Republican. Can be issues, can be problems there. Does God care if you're a Democrat or Republican? He cares that you love Jesus, his son, because without his son, you then are determined as far as where eternity will be for you, where you will spend eternity. And God just says, what you've done with this, with my son, that is how it's all going to go down. Either you believed in him and received him into your life, or you haven't. It's your choice. But God is a loving God, but he's also a holy and just God. A lot of times we forget those two attributes of who God is. Holy and just. God cannot allow sin to come into his heaven. Not one little itty teensy witsy bitsy sin. Because it won't be heaven anymore. We've got green going on in this country versus coal, oil, and natural gas, and fracking. Climate change. Violence going on in our cities. A lot of different things happening. And so that's why I just point out some of these things. It's not all of them. It's just some of the things that we hear about a lot. And thinking, is the United States of America. It's a great name. United States. How united are we as a country? Jesus came. Jesus came for all of us. Not just in America, but around the world. Because he loves us and cares about us. And he proved it. He demonstrated that as he went to the cross and died on Calvary and rose again on the third day. And that's our hope as well. So the reason I bring up all these different things is because being that we live in this world, a lot of these things then also are going to enter into the church. People make up the church, and you're going to bring in a lot of these things within the church. They're there. The answer Is God's word, is it authoritative? Is it true? Or is it secularism that we'd rather have? Man's got the ideas that are best. Conservative versus liberal. Authoritative versus just suggestions and it's just literature. A lot of these different things are happening and are going on in the world in which we live in and within the church itself. Jesus says in this parable, united you stand, divided you fall. And there's probably a lot of different illustrations or things that you know of in your own heart and your own life that you have experienced, that you have seen, where you go like, that's a true statement. If people don't love one another, then they turn on each other. Backstabbers. You name it. Jesus is getting at here with his own family, with the religious leaders, that he is about life, about forgiveness, and it only comes through him, by him. Is he your Savior? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Are you really following him? Or are you following Satan? Because you can't be in between. You're either following the Lord or you're not. Simply put. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are here today because we look to you for everything that comes our way in life. And Lord, there are many different things that are going on in people's lives here today, and people who aren't here today that we know of, that we find our hope in you. And a lot of times we don't even understand what that is. But we know that without you, Lord, it is hopeless. But with you, there's always hope. And so we have to let you be God and to be who you are. If I understand everything, or if I don't understand everything, I want you to be the God that you are. You have your way. And your ways are not like our ways. But your word never changes. It's true. It guides us. It guides our lives. And if we build on the foundation, you said that we will never be disappointed. And so, Lord, be with each and every one of us today as we think about united we stand or divided we fall. Jesus said there's only one sin that cannot be forgiven, and that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It means speaking against the Holy Spirit. Some people say, have I committed that sin? Chances are, if you are worried about it, you have not done that. For a person who commits the unpardonable sin is someone who is so hard and doesn't care about anything about who God is, doesn't want to have anything to do with God in his or her life. So if you have questions, have I committed this unpardonable sin? I would just say that you haven't, or you wouldn't be worried about it. And so, Lord, we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Okay. Some of you have not been here with us before when we've had communion. That's just fine. Just want to explain a few things. That when the time comes, you will be ushered, be told that you come out of your pew, and you can come up front, and you can come to the side here and get the wafer as well as the cup. Put your cup in the basket. If you'd like to spend some time at the altar and to kneel at the altar, or if you can't kneel, that's okay. You can still stand in front of the altar, and you'll be served at the altar, the Lord's body and his blood. And you'll find that there is a wine, and then the clear cup is grape juice. And so that's entirely up to you what you'd like to receive. And so use this time. Don't use it as a time of just watching people come up, but use this time as a way of just saying, Lord, what do you want me to know about you today? What is it about me that I need to know that maybe I'm not dealing with in my life or my heart? Use that time of just waiting for you to come forward, a way of a time of confession or praise to the Lord. And you'll find it's much more gratifying and more meaningful when it's done that way than just trying to see, like, who's that person there? Oh, they got a different hair color, you know? Or they must be wearing a new sweater or something, you know? Forget about those things. You're here because God wants you here. And he wants to speak to your heart and do something in your life, whatever that may be. And you don't have to come forward if you don't want to either. That's fine. So, and no one's going to be saying, like, oh, so-and-so didn't go up there. Wonder what's wrong with them. That should never, ever be between you and the Lord. And so, you know, if you're visiting us here today and you don't want to come forward, that's okay. Okay? Just want you to know that's okay. It's fine. It's up to you. So, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said to them, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He then took the cup. And when he gave thanks, he offered it to his disciples, saying to them, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. I'll ask the servers to come forward.
How deep
Through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. Receive the benediction this morning. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. In heaven they hunger will enter the
Yeah.